This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Wash-shamsi wa duhiha. والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جليها والليل إذا يغشيها والسماء وما بنيها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سويها فألهمها فجورها وتقويها قد أفلح من زكيها وقد خيب من دسيها كذب الثمود بطغويها إذ انبعث أشقيها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقيها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسويها ولا يخاف عقبيها والليل إذا يغشي والنهار إذا تجلي وما خلق الذكر والأنثي إن سعيكم لشتي فأما من أعطي واتقي وصدق بالحسن فسنيسره لليسر وأما من بخل واستغني وكذب بالحسن فسنيسره للعسر لا يغني عنه ماله إذا تردي إن علينا للهدي وإن لنا للآخرة ولولي فأنذرتكم نارا تلظي لا يصليها إلا لشقي الذي كذب وتولي وسيجنبها لتقي الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكي وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزي إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه لعلي ولسوف يرضي.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله والسراج المنيرا. First and foremost, can I have everyone quieting down please? Pin drop silence. Please, جزاكم الله خير. Anyone who's talking, please, let's remain quiet. Even those outside, because we can hear you through the window. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you guys who came. There was a lot of people standing up who weren't able to get into the masjid. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve you of your difficulties and hardships. Right? Honestly, I feel extremely, extremely humbled to see this masjid so packed out like this. And with so many brothers standing up behind. And then also many standing outside of the masjid. Wallahi, I honestly, I am lost for words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor every single one of you guys. My brothers and my sisters, also I want to take a moment out to thank the administration of the masjid. Likewise, Sheikh Muhammad, who helped coordinate this program with our brothers and sisters at Halal Eventbrite. It's not easy to sort out these programs. It really, really isn't. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of energy. So it is something that they are praised for doing. And because of course there are cameras, I have to keep on saying this. Whenever I travel now, I always have the enemies of Islam. The Zionists. You guys know who the Zionists are? The Zionists. The Rainbow Team. You also have the feminists, the blue haired feminists, and some of the other enemies of Islam, liberals who don't want to see the masajid packed out. They don't want to see people sitting in front of someone who preaches conservative Islam. Our objective, my brothers and my sisters, is to bring the people back to traditional Islam, which is normative. As time goes on, it becomes affected. We've seen religious preachers water down the religion of Islam. And we hope to change that to the best of our ability. So we have all of these individuals who are coming after us. You know what's also very sad? Some of our own brothers who might have the same aqidah, right? When seeing all of this taking place, they still feel the need to cause problems. Wallahu musta'an. Instead of busying themselves with those who are a lot more dangerous to one's aqidah, they are focusing on someone like myself. Having said all of that, I have to keep doing this every time there are cameras. Because these enemies of Islam, they are looking to take out of context and distort whatever I have to say. So I want to make it very, very clear and explicit. I, Abu Taymiyyah, I'm not a hate preacher. I am not here to incite violence or phobia towards anyone. I've said this now for the millionth time. Right? Am I a hate preacher, my brothers and my sisters? Jazakumullah khair. Shahid shahidu min ahliha. Our discussion for today, my brothers and my sisters, as promised to those who attended the masjid called Ahmed ibn Hanbal, which is just around the corner from here, right? I promised I would go through the effects of sins. The effects of sins. Taken from the book by Ibn al-Qayyim. Rahmatullahi alayhi. You know what this book is called? Al-Da'u wa al-Dawa. The spiritual sickness and its cure. Right. Yesterday in the Bomas of Kenya, we had a lot of questions of brothers and sisters asking about, I am addicted. Addicted to what? Drugs? Not necessarily. The sins. Infatuated. Lovesick. Haram relationships. Right? The question was posed to Sheikh Jamaluddin Usman, hafidhahullah ta'ala. And he answered it very well. He said, and he advised everyone, and I'm going to put it on my Twitter because I was meant to do it yesterday, I forgot. It's not called Twitter anymore, it's called X, sorry. I'm going to post this book on there. Spiritual Sickness and Its Cure. This book, my brothers and my sisters, the reason why Ibn al-Qayyim authored it is because someone sent him a letter. You know what he was saying in the letter? That he is tied down by some of these sins that he's practicing. And if he doesn't find a solution, it is going to destroy his dunya and the hereafter. Our Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, he went through this book in the haram. Right. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward him. Look, my brothers and my sisters, wallahi, it changed my life. It changed the way I look at people's problems. It completely changed. It completely changed the way I look at people's problems. I receive on average 100 messages on Instagram every day. 100. Not including emails, not including private messages on X, aka Twitter, and my other platforms. 100 just on Instagram, guys. Average, maybe more, sometimes maybe less, but on average 100. You know what the majority of these questions are? I'm addicted to the sin. I'm in a haram relationship. Would you advise me? How can I get over it? I am spiritually dead. I'm empty. I'm suffering inside. What shall I do? For those who attended the programs, I've been reading out private messages, right? Huh? I've been reading out private messages of people, my brothers and my sisters, who message me and that are crying out for help. I'm going to read this one. Assalamu alaikum. The questioner says, you probably won't even read this. I just did. Huh? I can imagine the amount of DMs you get from people. I feel extremely depressed when I wake up in the morning, and it is a regular thing now. I feel empty, akhi. I think all of my sins have killed my soul. I don't know what to do. Another one, my brothers and my sisters. This is from a sister. Assalamu alaikum. I am 18 years of age. I'm an 18-year-old girl, sorry. I was a good Muslim. I was working on my deen. I was working on my deen, she says. I prayed my fard, yani the obligatory prayers. Sometimes sunnah. I started re-watching my sinful past by video, I'm assuming. Her sinful past, the bad things that she used to do in the past, she started re-watching it. And I started missing it. I stopped praying, I stopped being religious. I have no idea what's happening to me. Why am I such a bad person now? What the hell happened? This wasn't supposed to happen. Ever was this supposed to happen. I am so deeply unhappy and I am full of regret. I don't have the stability or the motivation to go back. I don't think I can. Another email, my brothers and my sisters, the title was 22-year-old male, and then it said next to it, zina. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, please can you help me? I've done zina for almost a year now with girls. I'm completely broken, empty, and I don't want to live anymore. My family doesn't know what I've done, only my mother does. Everyone who looks at me says that I look lifeless. I have lost my appetite for food. I have lost the will to go on. I really need some advice. Please help me. Another one, my brothers and my sisters. I'm a 16-year-old girl. She says, hi. No, sorry. It says, hi. Next time when you message me, say, salam alaikum. Hi, my name is, and then she mentions her name, which I'm not going to expose. I'm 16 years old. I'm going through a lot of pain, depression, stress, sadness. I truly need your help. Please help me. I've been in a haram relationship. I fell in love hard. He dumped and left me. Why are you guys laughing? Wallahi, seriously, why are you guys laughing? It happens. He loves him and I cry every night. Knowing nothing will work out, I pray, I want to have a relationship with Allah, I want to be better, but shaitan is not letting me. That was a girl. I'll mention also a boy. Salaam alaikum, Sheikh. How are you? I hope you are well. So I was in a haram relationship. This is a man. And today she ended it. Yani she dumped him. I am completely devastated. I can't do it anymore. My heart hurts so much. Please help me. What can I do to make myself feel better and get over it? Sheikh, please help me. But alhamdulillah, it's come to an end, so I'm out there again. But still, I can't get away from her. I can't stop thinking about her. If you know what I need to know, please help me. Sheikh, please help me. I don't want to come back into a haram relationship. If you have tips, please help me and tell me. I don't want to repeat the sin again. Sheikh, please help me. You know how many times he said, please help me? 6 times. Right, sins will destroy you. This is the case of many young people over there in the West. right? Many young people. I know here in Kenya, they dream about going to the UK, صح? Even tahrib, huh? You're ready to pay just so you can get smuggled in. Wallahi al-azim, my brothers and my sisters, you are missing out on nothing. This is the life of many of these youngsters over there. Many. They are miserable. They are depressed. They are sad. Right? Because they've tried life. We here, we look on Instagram and it appears to us that they are enjoying their life. They have it all. That's what you think. Some of the consequences and the effects of sins. Many people, you know what they think? Huh? When I look at a girl on Instagram privately under, huh? I only have to answer to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. People think that. When I sin, the only time I will face the consequences of my sins is when I meet Allah. My brother, my sister, you are mistaken. You are mistaken, my friend. If you don't repent from these sins, wallahi al-azim, that which is feared is that your sins will hunt you down. It will come back to haunt you sooner or later. And it will begin to affect you in so many ways, ways that you never ever thought about. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Perhaps when you realize how it impacts you on a day-to-day basis, you will withhold from doing these sins. This was one of the objectives of the Shaykh writing this book called The Spiritual Sickness and Its Cure. And he has a section where he talks about these consequences. He says, وَمِنْ هُنَا وَمِنْ هَا هُنَا قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ الْمَعَاصِي بَرِيدُ الْكُفُرِ. He says that the sins are the first spark to disbelief. Let me ask you guys a question. If one committed zina, does he become a gal? Does he become a kafir? It's a major sin, sah? Here, Ibn al-Qayyim is saying that it is the first spark to disbelief. Meaning one thing leads to another, and another, and another, up until he ends up leaving the religion of Islam. Sometimes we say, my brothers and my sisters, this sin, no big deal. It's minor. Looking at a woman on Fitnagram, it's not a big deal. Sah? Wallahi, I'm not doing zina with, I'm just looking at her. Zina al-aynayn an-nadhar. The zina of the eyes is to look. And the zina of the tongue is to what? Shukansa. Right? To chirp, to flirt. وَزِنَ الْيَدْ. The zina of the hands is to reach out to her. Tatawan. Right? And the zina of the feet is what? To walk towards her. Right? One thing leads to another, and another, and another, up until that individual may eventually leave the fold of Islam. You know how many brothers I know, they stopped praying, right? That leaves you now on the edge of Islam. And it all started with being hypnotized on Instagram, sitting in front of Instagram all day long, looking at haram, looking at women you shouldn't be looking at. And then it doesn't stop there. That leads to something greater. He becomes addicted to adult content, pornography. And then it takes him down a very, very dark road. Very dark road. After he's watching all of the videos that are free, he starts paying for it. Because he's craving that which is more intense. And he all started with Instagram. He then goes on to say, كَمَا أَنَّ الْقُبْلَةَ بَرِيدُ الْجِمَاعِ. The same way, if one now kisses a woman, what does it lead to? It leads to sexual intercourse, right? One thing leads to another. He's trying to now compare this situation to what we mentioned, how the sins lead to disbelief.
وَالْغِنَى بَرِيدُ الزِّنَى. And he says music leads to what? الزِّنَى. Ibn al-Qayyim, my brothers and my sisters, he passed away hundreds of years ago. Did you guys know that? Hundreds of years ago. He's saying that music then, huh? It will lead you to zina. How about this music here today? Ibn al-Qayyim, in one of his other books, Ighathatul Lahfan, fi Masaid al-Shaytan, you know what he says? وَكَمْ مِنْ حُرَّةٍ سَارَتْ بِالْغِنَى مِنَ الْبَغَايَى. How many women, because of music, became prostitutes? The music of that time, not the music of today, which has al-khubth wal-khabaith in it. Naked women, the most filthiest of rhetoric that is vulgar that you hear, that gets you ticking, right? And then now it inspires you to go and do haram. وَالنَّظَرَ بَرِيدُ الْعِشْقِ وَالْمَرَضَ بَرِيدُ الْمَوْتِ. He then says, looking, taking that glance, it is the root cause for what? For becoming love sick, infatuation. We know the qissa of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam ma'a imra'at al-aziz, right? When she trapped him in the room. By the way, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam utiya shatr al-husn. He was granted half the beauty of mankind. Nus. When Allah distributed beauty, half was given to him. Where's the other half? MashaAllah, there's some here, huh? The rest was given to everyone else. He was serving her one day, and then she locked all of the doors that lead to her bedroom. And then she said, "Hey, Talak, let's get it on." قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. Point being, she went crazy over him, even though she was a pretty good-looking woman as well. She went crazy. She started chasing after him. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. He's running away from her. She's going crazy, guys. And she's ripping his clothes. Right? Today, if a girl doesn't want you, say, خَلَاص سَعَى. Huh? But she's going crazy. She's grabbing him from the back. She's ripping his clothes. Right? And she didn't stop. She got caught. She got caught by her husband. And she still didn't stop. What was the root cause for all this? Huh? Glance. Also Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says, أَصْلُ الْعِشْقِ إِطْلَاقُ الْبَصَرِ. The root cause of becoming infatuated, lovesick, is what? Nadar, looking. He then goes on to say, وَقَدْ ذَهَبَ دِينُ خَلْقٍ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْمُتَعَبِّدِينَ. Many people who are devout worshippers, they used to worship Allah a lot. We are not talking about the Iyal Sukh. We are talking about someone who comes to the masjid. We have our imam, right? May Allah protect him. Can you imagine the imam now, right? Completely flipping 180. May Allah protect him from that. He's talking about people like that, muta'abbideen. They lost their faith because of not lowering the gaze. All because of the eyes. By the 8:15, alhamdulillah. Madashan, are you guys tired? Shall we stop? MashaAllah. Ila Berry. Fajr. Don't worry, we're not going to go until Berry. By the way, what do you guys think of my Somali? It's good. Somalia Bernoya. Let's now go into the consequences of your sins. Put your hand up if you're trying to memorize the Quran. MashaAllah, that's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. You know what's going to hinder your progress? Sins. The first consequence of sins that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, my brothers and my sisters, was none other. Hirmanul ilm. You will be deprived of knowledge. You know, my brother, I put a lot of effort and time into memorizing. I tell myself, if I look at a woman that I shouldn't be looking at, I'm going to forget all of that which I memorized. And this is true. This is exactly what happens. Right? One day, my brothers and my sisters, Shafi'i sat in front of Imam Malik. You guys know Imam Shafi'i? All the Somalis, they follow his madhab. Imam Malik was a teacher. They both sat in front of him. Imam Shafi'i sat in front of him. And he told them, Inni ara anna Allah qad alqa fi qalbika nura. I can see that Allah has put a nur in your heart. Because Imam Shafi'i's memorization was very, very slick. Very sharp. Imagine you have a book. Imagine you have a book like this, huh? He would cover one side because of how powerful his memory was. He didn't want this to mix up with that. He just needed to look at it. Till one day, he began to suffer from memory loss. You know how? Or you know why? Because he looked at the ankle of a woman. You know what an ankle is? The ankle of a woman. It had bangles. He had jewelry on there. He looked at the ankles. And it began to affect his memory. شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيعٍ سُوَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِ. So he complained to Waqi'. Waqi' told him to stop sinning. He didn't say to him, don't worry, Imam Shafi'i, you are good one time, now you are old. No. Told him, stop sinning. فَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. And he told me that ilm is a nur. And that this nur is not given to a sinner. You know, when I was in Yemen, wallah, I remember it like it was yesterday. Before I was about to leave, one of the elders came up to me and he said, Muhammad, I advise you not to leave. I said, why? He said, I fear you will forget half of the Quran. I said, what do you mean? He goes, fitna. I was like, forget half the Quran? Come on. Imam Shafi'i, my brothers and my sisters, he lost, or his memory got affected by looking at the bangles of a woman's ankles. Huh? Today, what do you have? You have Dumrial. Right? Everywhere on the world wide web. صح? We just look at it like it's casual, صحيح? Not a big deal. You think that's not going to affect you, my brothers and my sisters? I know there are brothers, they follow female celebrities. What are you doing? Why are you following this female celebrity? Or he says, no, we are just Facebook friends. Friendes. Huh? We are just Facebook. Look, even the way they named it, huh? Facebook friends. Then the next question is, can men and women just be friends? When I go around to the university, they always ask me this question. Can men and women just be friends? Wallah, he goes, I have pure intentions. I am sitting in the library alone. And then she comes and she helps me with my assignment. وَيَعَوِنُوْسَا. She's helping me. Right. Who did he complain to? He complained to who? Who did Imam al-Shafi'i complain to? What was his name? Waqi'. You know, I always wondered, why did he go to him? He could have gone back to Imam Malik or anyone else. Later on, I found it in Sir A'lam al-Nubala, which is a big book. It talks about the lives of the righteous who went for us. Ali ibn Khashram, he mentions, مَا رَأَيْتُ بِيَدِ وَكِيعٍ كِتَابٍ قَدْ. I never ever saw Waqi' holding a book. إنما هو الحفظ. Everything was from the top of his memory. حافظ. He was a حافظ. So then he got asked him, ما دواء النسيان? What is the cure for forgetting? He said, ترك المعاصي ما جربت مثله قط. To leave off sinning, I've never tried anything like it. Now it begins to make sense, right? We memorized, it was mutqin, huh? It was very, very solid. When you memorize or when you learn something, then all of a sudden it became watery. Huh? Maybe it is because of what you are looking at. What is dalinusa? You are making yourself tired. It's a never-ending battle. You want the Quran. And at the same time, you're listening to music. قال ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه The love of music and the love of Quran are two things that can't coexist in your heart. I remember Hoy used to say to me one time, she caught me, I had music on the phone. Long time ago when there was Nokia. She caught me and she said, you're not a man. Also, Uthman ibn Affan, you know what he said? لو طهرت قلوبنا ما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. If our hearts were pure, we will never become bored of the Quran. Never. Never. Right. Sins will impact you hugely. Remember what is at stake. You become صاحب القرآن. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, Allah will open not just the dunya for you, but also the hereafter. Dunya wa deen. Dunya will be open right before your eyes. Because you are a companion of the best of speeches, and that's the speech of Allah. Right? Number two. What was the first one? What will happen when you sin? Before I move on to point number two, let me tell you guys a story that happened in Al-Medina. I had a friend. I would see him walking into class Sunday morning. Starts on Monday. Over there in the east, the week starts on a Sunday. He walks into class, and wallah, his face looks different to when I left him Thursday evening. I began to feel that there was something up with him. So whenever we would leave the classroom on our way to our dorms where we sleep, I would advise him, Ya akhi, fear Allah. In a nice way, indirectly, and how sins, they affect our pursuit of knowledge. I would beg this brother, come to the haram and let's learn the deen together. Every day he would make me the promise, I'm coming, but he would never come. Up until we were about to leave for the summer holidays. When you are in Medina, they give you a free ticket every summer. So everyone's running around trying to get ready their bags so you don't miss the flight. As I'm preparing to go back, my phone can't stop ringing. Who's calling this brother? Call after call after call after call. It's like, Ninkum Hadari. What's wrong with him? I'm busy and I'm not responding. Till after some time, I said, you know what? Let me see what the issue is. So I respond. I was like, What's the issue, Akhi? Why are you calling me so many times? He goes, I have to speak to you. So I gave him a mu'id, an appointment. We walked into the masjid. I want you to put yourself in my shoes. We are in Medina. Who normally goes to Medina? People who inshallah ta'ala are trying to become scholars, right? As soon as I walk into the masjid, I sit down, I see him. Like imagine, put yourself in my shoes and where we are. The first thing that comes out of his mouth is, my girlfriend cheated on me. If someone said that to me here in Kenya or in the UK or in America, you think I would be surprised? I get messages all the time on Instagram. Wallahi, I was not expecting that. Like I'm thinking, wait. In order for a woman to cheat, that means you had a relationship with her. You're in a haram and you're here. I was completely thrown off. I didn't know what to say to him. I froze. Then I said to him, do you remember the advices I used to give you? He said, yes, that's why I came to you. Now it all makes sense. Why he wasn't able to come to the haram to learn with me? Because the sins were affecting him. Number two, my brothers and my sisters, number two. وَمِنْهَا حِرْمَانُ الرِّزْقِ. You will be deprived of provision. You guys know what provision is? Money could mean that. A rizq is not just money, guys. It's a lot more vast than that. But normally when rizq is mentioned, that which comes to mind is none other than money, sah. The Messenger of Allah, what did he say? إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ بِخَطِيَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا. One is deprived of provision because of the sin that he carries out. Because of the sin that he carries out, he is deprived of provision. You know, my brothers and my sisters, right? Most people who message me that are suffering from pornography addiction, all the time they put at the end, you know what they put at the end? I'm also suffering financially. Well, like some of you guys keep laughing. I ask Allah not to test you guys with it. These are some serious cases. Your sins will affect you. I come across brothers who didn't have much, but all of a sudden Allah blessed them with a lot of money. What does he do? He goes and buys a car. Very fancy car. Very, very fancy car. One of the first things he does is starts blasting music in his car. Do you guys have this here? He has a nice car and he's blasting music. Over there, hadith wala haraj. Widespread and rampant. Muslims are doing it as well. Right? Not like that, huh? Hadith wala haraj. And after playing the music in his car loudly, what is he doing? He's trying to entice women. He wants to use his nice car and his music to draw women to him. 3 weeks later, I ask him, where's your car? He goes, oh, wallahi, my car stopped working. It's at the garage. Spanking new car he had. Now it's in the garage for 3 weeks. You know what I put it down to? كما قال ابن القيم, ما سلبت النعم إلا بترك تقوى الله والإساءة إلى الناس. Never are you deprived of your blessings except because you left off having taqwa of Allah. He also says somewhere else, ما عصي الله بشيء إلا أفسده على صاحبه. Never does one disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla with something except Allah will destroy that. ومن عصى الله بماله أفسده عليه. You use your money to disobey Allah, Allah will destroy that. Are you guys with me? There is a qissa that I like to always mention, the qissa of Muhammad ibn Sirin. Do you know who Muhammad ibn Sirin was? He was the student of Abu Huraira. He was a student of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Did you know that at the end of his life he was thrown into prison? Did you guys know that? Why was he thrown into prison? Because he had a big debt. Big debt. He bought some oil on credit, and then a rat got stuck inside of it. A rat got stuck inside of it. So he had to pour it all out. And then eventually he was thrown into prison because he became bankrupt. You know what he said? عَيَّرْتُ رَجُلًا بِالْإِفْلَاسِ قَبْلَ 30 سَنَ فَابْتُدِيتُ بِهِ 30 years ago, he saw someone that was bankrupt, walking, and then he degraded him. In Somali, they say, "Woo yasai." You know, sometimes when we see someone, we say, "Ah, look at him. Think theory." We look down on them, right? He said, 30 years ago, I done that to someone who was bankrupt. Now I've been tested by it. Subhanallah. The fact that he remembers what he done 30 years ago, wallahi, it shows how obedient they used to be. They could remember their sins because they could count it on their hands. Number three, وَمِنْهَا وَحْشَةٌ يَجِدُهَا الْعَاصِي فِي قَلْبِهِ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. You begin to feel this alienation inside of your heart. Between you and Allah, you feel a lack of connection. There is no sweetness in what you do because of how dark your heart became. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, نُكِتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَى. Every time you sin, black dot, black dot, black dot. Up until your whole heart becomes black. To the point, لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا. Yeah? You say to him, Akhi, Allah wants you to do this. It's like a kafir is speaking. It doesn't move him whatsoever. You put fahisha, evil in front of him, he does it straight away. You know, I met people in the past, my brothers and my sisters, were very shy when it came to sins. But after becoming so engulfed in sins, no haya whatsoever. No shyness. He will swear. He will use vulgar terms. No haya. You tell him, ittaqillah, wallah, he doesn't care. However, my brothers and my sisters, when you are now feeling that wahsha, that there is something wrong when you do that act of evil, it still shows that your heart is alive. Are you guys with me? The fact, you know, sometimes you do something and then you feel bad about it. It still shows that your heart is alive. But if it reaches a point where you don't care anymore and you just do the sin, wallahi, it is feared for this individual something very, very severe. Right. He becomes like a dead person. You know, a dead person, when you try to stab it, right? Imagine a dead person in front of you, you stab it, is it going to move? Huh? Is it going to move? No. That's the example that Ibn al-Qayyim gives. وَمَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ. You injure it, you stab it, it's not going to feel anything. So then he says, إِذَا كُنْتَ قَدْ أَوْحَشَتْكَ الذُّنُوبُ فَدَعْحَا إِنْ شِئْتَ وَاسْتَأْنِسِ. If you begin to feel this alienation, where you're beginning to feel empty, then he says, leave it. In shit, if you wish, wastanisi, go and seek that pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Oh, you who's in that haram relationship, you know deep inside that this is wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. You know that. Ihmad Rabbak, praise Allah that you still have life in your heart. You are still breathing. Right? Deep inside you know that this is going to destroy your dunya and your hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you a halal alternative work towards that. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهِ. Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him that which is better. Number four. What was number one, guys? Number two, rizqika aga, right? And the opposite is true as well. You know what the opposite is? If you do what Allah has told you, He will open doors. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ لَا يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. MashaAllah. Everyone knows the ayat. You have taqwa, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you a way out. And He will give you provision from where you don't expect. I'll give you guys an example. You're under your blanket and the shaitan is whispering, open that haram video. And you throw it to the side. I'm not going to do it. It's times like that when Allah will begin to open doors for you. However, if you don't, my friend, you have missed out on an opportunity. You have missed out on an opportunity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing for you from where you don't expect. What was number three? Huh? You lose that connection with Allah. What's your name, Adiga? Yusuf is answering all the questions. How old are you? 11. Ahsanti, ya Yusuf. Number four. My brothers and my sisters, you will now begin to feel an alienation towards other individuals, other human beings. Right? You will begin to now go through problems with them, whether it is on a personal level or on a community level or on a societal level. Right? You see with people who sin, my brothers and my sisters, when they're going through sins, his teacher, he will try to avoid him. He will try to avoid him. He will take a different road to him. Any person who's practicing will begin to feel a certain way around him because of the sins that he's doing, and that is because of what he's engaging in. قال بعض السلف إني لأعصي الله فأرى ذلك في خلق دابتي وامرأتي. الله أكبر. Put your hand up if you're married. Actually, don't put it up because I don't want anyone to look at you. Say mashallah, brothers. Allahum barik. Don't give him your ayumanas, your evil eye. He says, قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ. Some of the righteous of the past would say, I disobey Allah, then all of a sudden I begin to see a change in my wife and in my riding beast. We don't have riding beasts today, but the car. All of a sudden things start changing. Right? Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَعَلَى قَدْرِ مَحَبَّةِ الْعَبْدِ لِلَّهِ يُحِبُّهُ النَّاسِ وَعَلَى قَدْرِ خَوْفِي مِنَ اللَّهِ يَخَافُهُ الْخَلْقِ. In accordance to how much you love Allah and how much you prioritize Him, right, the people will love Him. Right? And in accordance to how much you fear Allah, you will feel, you will see the creation fearing Him. وَكَيْفَ يَنْتَهِكُ عَبْدٌ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَطْمَعُ أَنْ لَا يَنْتَهِكَ النَّاسُ حُرُمَاتِهِ. Allahu Akbar. You think you can disobey Allah, he says. But then the people are not going to end up giving you a hard time? You think that? You destroy and violate the limits of Allah. You think people are not going to then disrespect you and destroy you and violate your sanctity? How you treat the awamir of Allah, that's how the people will eventually end up treating you. قُدْهَا كَخَاعِدَة. خُدْهَا كَقَاعِدَة. If I better my relationship with Allah, my relationship with the people will also become better. مَاذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكُ أَصْلِحْ مَا بَيْنَكْ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. Which is between you and the people. مِفَهِنْتَن. Sometimes we focus too much on what people think. No, focus on what Allah thinks and then see what happens after. My brothers and my sisters, The last point I'm going to mention on the number four. I'm going to teach you guys how to drop in the eyes of the people. Especially if you are a person that the people respect, maybe because of his Quran, maybe because of his ilm. You are someone that has a high status in the society. I'm going to teach you guys now how this individual drops in their eyes. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says, رأيت أقواما من المنتسبين إلى العلم أهملوا نظر الله عز وجل في الخلوات. He said, I saw those who seek knowledge. They were people of knowledge. They stopped being conscious of Allah when they were alone behind closed doors. He thinks he can come out, give khutbas. Everyone respects him or lead the salah. Everyone respects him. Or maybe just your family, they look up to you. They respect you. Right? And then behind closed doors, you're watching Netflix. Or you're looking at haram. And you're thinking to yourself, wallahi, whatever I do behind closed doors will not affect what I or how the people treat me in public. I've seen enough people who used to give da'wah, right? People respected them, but behind closed doors, nagu shikan sinayi. And then later on, everything came out and he dropped in the eyes of the people. أَهْمَلُوا نَظَرَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي الْخَلَوَاتِ فَمَحَى مَحَاسِنَ ذِكْرِينَ فِي الْجَلَوَاتِ. Allah caused the good things that are mentioned about them in public to disappear. It was what? Erased. فَكَانُوا مَوْجُودِينَ كَالْمَعْدُومِينَ لَا حَلَاوَةَ لِرُؤْيَتِهِمْ وَلَا قَلْبَ يَحْنُ إِلَّا لِقَائِهِمْ. They would walk into the room, it is as if they are non-existent. There was no halawa in seeing them, and the heart stopped yearning for them. Right? Imagine that, my brothers and my sisters. People respect you today, and then tomorrow you drop, maybe because of what you do privately. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. If you don't want to lose your position, you should be someone who does more righteous deeds behind closed doors than the things that you do in public. هذا هو الصادق من الكاذب. How many is that? Four, right? Number five. وَمِنْهَا تَعْسِيرُ أُمُورِهِ عَلَيْهِ. From the effects of sin is that things start becoming very difficult in your life. Whatever you try to accomplish, it is like a big fat door that is blocking you. Right? Subhanallah. What did Allah say? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. What is the mafhum? وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever doesn't come with taqwa, Allah will not give him a way out. Huh? Hassan al-Basri, he would say, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ كَانَ يُشَاكُ الشَّوْكَةِ وَيَقُولُ. There would be someone from the righteous people of the past who would be injured by a thorn. Thorn. Why do I keep thinking that you guys don't understand English? Wallahi, I came to know that in Kenya, their English is better than us. We learned English from the streets. Here, Allahumma barik. I was very impressed by the MC yesterday. Huh? In the Bomas, Kenya? Did anyone come here? Go to it? By the way, it was 20% men and 80% women. Where were the men at? Huh? My brothers and my sisters. My brothers and my sisters. Right? إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّكِ بِذَنْبٍ وَمَا ظَلَمَنِي رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ. After being injured by the thorn, you know the righteous person will say to the thorn, I know This happened to me because of a sin. My Lord did not oppress me. وَمَا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah does not oppress anyone. Things become difficult for him. He does not turn his attention towards any matter, but he finds the way blocked, or he finds it difficult. Yeah. And the last point that I'm going to mention. Last point, guys. Are you okay? You want to come sit here to have more freedom? Ta'al. Ahlan bishaykh. Sheikh Jamaluddin, he's sitting here very humbly. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward him for his tawadu'. He should be giving the lesson, not me. This is your resident scholar that you have here, brothers and sisters. You have any problems, go to him. Right? He is the Imam of Jamia Masjid. Last point, my brothers and my sisters. Last point. وَمِنْهَا ظُلْمَةٌ يَجِدُهَا فِي قَلْبِهِ حَقِيقَةً يُحِسُّ بِهَا كَمَا يُحِسُّ بِظُلْمَةِ اللَّيْلِ الْبَهِيمِ إِذَا دْلَهَمْ فَتَصِيرُ ظُلْمَةُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لِقَلْبِهِ كَالظُلْمَةِ الْحِسِّيَّةِ لِبَصَرِهِ فَإِنَّ الطَّاعَةَ نُورُ وَالْمَعْصِيَةُ ظُلْمَةِ. He says, you begin to feel this darkness inside of your heart, which one begins to feel literally, right? The same way you begin to feel the darkness when you go outside in the night. What happens, my brothers and my sisters? After his heart becomes dark, the darkness begins to project on his face, right? And then he brings a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma when he says, إِنَّ لِلْحَسَنَةِ ضِيَاءً لِلْوَجْهِ وَإِنَّ لِلْسَيَّةِ ظُلْمَةً لِلْوَجْهِ. When you do a good deed, it puts a glow on your face. When you do a bad deed, it puts darkness on your face, my brothers and my sisters. You know, my brothers and my sisters, at times when someone comes to me, before he's even asked me the question, I probably have an idea of what he's going through just looking at his face. Someone who falls into a zina, right, you can see it almost what? Apparent on his face. This is what sins do to an individual. Put your hand up if you know someone that's gone for Umrah and then came back. My brothers and my sisters, would you agree that after that person came back that his face looked different? Huh? I remember when I was in Al-Medina, I had an Egyptian roommate. He would go for Mecca and come back, even though he's tired. Normally when you're tired, it looks on your face, right? Even he's tired, wallahi, I could see a big difference on his face. إِنَّ لِلْحَسَنَةِ ضِيَاءً لِلْوَجْهِ. Especially when it's قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. Hassan al-Basri was asked, مَا بَالُ الْمُتَّهَجِّدِينَ بِاللَّيْلِ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ وُجُوهًا فِي النَّهَارِ. Why is it that those who stand up in the night, they have the nicest of faces in the day? لِأَنَّهُمْ خَلَوْا بِالرَّحْمَنِ فَأَلْبَسَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ نُورِهِ. Because they were alone with Allah, so Allah clothed them with His nur. You know, sisters, they always ask me, what is the alternative to makeup? I say to them, wake up in the night. Salatul Layl Dukhda. Pray at night. And then when you wake up in the morning, put some Vaseline on and khalas. Huh? And you will look, inshallah ta'ala, as beautiful as it can be. Wallah, you can see a difference. Someone who stands up in the night and he prays, as opposed to someone who's maybe what's sinning. Also, Sa'id ibn Musaybi said, إِنَّ الرَّجْلَ يُصَلِّي بِاللَّيْلِ فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِي وَجْهِ نُورًا يُحِبُّهُ عَلَيْهِ كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ. When he wakes up in the night and then Allah puts nur on his face, which causes every person that sees him to love him from the Muslimin. فَيَرَاهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَرَهُ قَطْ. Someone who never met him before, never saw him before. فَيَقُولُ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. Indeed, I love this person, even though he didn't meet him before. That's what the night prayer does for that individual. Inshallah, tonight we're all going to pray. Huh? And we're going to make it a habit. You want something, my brothers? Go ask Allah. That is the best time to be asking Allah. ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى كل ليلة إلى سماء الدنيا. Every night Allah comes down. Right? And he says, من يدعوني? Who's going to call on to me? So give to him. I'm going to tell you guys a قصة. Okay? Before I mention it, Ibn al-Qayyim also says, وَالْكَذِبُ لَهُ تَأْثِيرٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي سَوَادِ الْوَجْهِ وَيَكْسُوهُ بُرْقُعًا مِنَ الْمَقْتِ يَرَاهُ كُلُّ صَادِقٍ. When you lie, when you tell lies, it puts an effect on your face. It blackens it. وَيَكْسُوهُ بُرْقُعًا is like you're wearing a mask. Right? A mask of anger. Every person who's truthful can see it. To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, I'm going to tell you guys something that I heard one of the mashayikh mention. One of the mashayikh who came from Kuwait. His name is the Shaykh Adnan Abdul Qadir. He came to Leicester. And then he mentioned a story which I took and added to this point of this lecture. He said one day the Shaykh came late to his lesson. And while he was away, because he was going to be late, someone else deputized. Someone else was teaching the lesson. So the Shaykh walked in late and then sat next to him. As he was sitting down, he sees a brother. And the Shaykh can't stop staring at him. He can't stop staring at him. As the lesson finishes, the Shaykh grabs his brother, he takes him with him. And he says, you are not leaving me today until you tell me what has changed in your life. What has changed for the Shaykh now to do all of this? The Shaykh tells us that his face looked so much more different than how he saw him before. Before, his face was all dark and gloomy. You could see there was something up with him. And his skin tone was very different to all of his other family relatives. So then the boy is telling the Shaykh what he used to do. He used to work on the coast. You know what the coast is? On the coast, the seashore. And every time he met a woman, he would make her all of these false promises that he will marry her. Just so he could do a zina with her. And after doing zina with her, after chewing her like a piece of chewing gum, he would spit her out. Salaam alaikum. Next one, and the next one, and the next one. He was a zani bima'na al-kalima. Till one day, he saw this girl who wasn't even good looking, from what the Shaykh mentions. He made all of these promises, I will marry you, wa-wa-wa-wa, ila akhirih. And then after, ba'da an makkanat nafsa min, after he finished having sexual intercourse with her, she said, okay, are you not going to marry me? She goes, me marry you and you look like that? And you can imagine what this would do to a woman. The worst thing you can do to a woman is to comment negatively about her looks. So then what happened? SubhanAllah, Allah tested him. Allah tested him with becoming lovesick. Right? Becoming infatuated with this girl that wasn't even good looking. Right. So then he started calling her mom, auntie, I want to get married to your daughter. She says to her, oh, she says to him, don't worry, I'm going to ask her. She calls him back, she said no. Second time, no. Third time she asks the daughter says, mother, if you ask me again, I'm leaving the house. The auntie then says to the brother, I'm sorry, this is what she said, please don't call me again. The brother on the spot, he faints. He gets rushed into hospital. He's lovesick. He thought he could play around with other women and Allah, ليس أقدر عليه. Allah has more capability now to destroy him. He gets rushed into hospital. His sister, who used to give da'wah, comes to him and she admonishes him and says, do you not fear Allah? Your family is a good family and you're running around doing all this haram. He took a vow that if Allah cures him from this sickness, that he's going to change his life around. The Sheikh knew him before and after. This is why the Sheikh couldn't stop looking at him. This young man looks very different to how I knew him before. To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm finished because I know now 8:15, right? Can I take 2 minutes? Huh? No, just 2 minutes. He's very nice. He said, take another 10. No, I don't need 10. 2 minutes. That which is going to increase our ta'zeem, our veneration, our glorification of Allah, my brothers and my sisters, is learning about who Allah is. The more you learn about who Allah Azza wa Jal is, the less likely you will dive into these sins. People always ask, why is it that me and my friend, when we are walking, he lowers his gaze, but I don't? Or sometimes the sin presents itself, I do it straight away, but he doesn't. Right? It is down to what, my brothers, because of this individual having that ta'zeem in his heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you learn about Allah, the more you will be conscious of him. I'll give you guys this example that Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions. When talking about a male and female Bedouin, they were one time alone in a desert. You may have heard this, right, story before. Alone in the desert. Nomads, Bedouins. You wouldn't expect Bedouins to have knowledge, right? He approached her. He tried to seduce her. In Somali, they say he tried to do shukansa with her, right? And then he noticed that she was getting scared. So he said to her, Mimma takhafin. What are you scared of? La yarana illa al-kawakib. The only thing that can see us is what? The stars. This female Bedouin turns around to him and she says, Aina mukawkibuha? Aina khaliquha wa bariha? She says to this man, where is the one who created these stars, these kawakib? Where is the creator? He got scared. This is a woman that understood that Allah is al-Raqib, al-Sami' al-Basir. She learned the names of Allah. The only source of knowledge that we have of Allah is what? His names and attributes. The more you learn about it, the more, my brothers and my sisters, you will be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what is called strengthening your tawheed, which is the most precious thing to every single one of us. Today you might say to a young man, pray. You might say to a young girl, put on the hijab. They don't even know why they're praying. Or why they're putting on the hijab, because they know nothing about Allah. Right? They know nothing about Him. This is what we need to strengthen the information that we have about Allah and to teach it and preach it. Right? My brothers and my sisters, I want to conclude by instructing you all with the following. You came to this lecture now. I know some of you guys are going to say, wallahi, my iman went up. That was a very good lecture, right? And you're going to message me on Instagram saying thank you, as many of the young people have been doing. Lectures are no different to Panadol. That's what you guys call it, right? Panadol. It's painkiller. He told me earlier, I asked him, how do you guys say painkiller? It's a Panadol. What's your name? Huh? Siraj. Lectures are like painkillers. Huh? It gives you that buzz. Makes you feel better for a little bit. But then it's just going to go back down again. We are in need of operation. This operation is to continue seeking knowledge. My advice to you guys is to start a journey in learning about your religion. Benefit from the mashayikh around you. Like I said, you guys have Sheikh Jamaluddin Uthman. You also have Sheikh Abdul Rahman, who studied in Yemen. Right? Studied in Yemen. And now he is teaching every Saturday and Sunday after Fajr in Masjid Rahma. Sahih, Sheikh? Masjid Rahma, right? Huh? In Hullingham. He's going to start more durus, inshallah ta'ala, in the future.
benefits from the mashayikh. These are just some of the mashayikh. I don't know all of the mashayikh here. Learn your religion, my brothers and my sisters, and wallahi, you'll be in a much better place spiritually. And inshallah, you won't become like those young brothers and sisters who are messaging me. They don't have the answers as to why they are going through all of this misery. I read out, didn't I? I hope you don't become like them, but at least now you know why. Right? You know why things start happening in your life. Do you feel, my brothers and my sisters, that things have fallen into perspective? Things are making more sense now of what happens to us in life? Alhamdulillah. This is what I wanted to achieve. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless the administration of the masjid and to make us from amongst those who take the benefit and act upon it. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We're gonna pray now عشاء إن شاء الله تعالى وجزاكم الله خير.